Our scripture today picks up from the beginning of 2 John, verses 1 through 6. We already heard from verses 7 through 13, the end. So, the elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I was overjoyed to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we have been commanded by the Father. But now, dear lady, I ask you, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Let us love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard it from the beginning, you must walk in it. Thanks be to God for the gift of the word today and always. Light at the end of the tunnel. It's been a fun ride scouring the books of the Bible that I have not yet preached from. I hope you've enjoyed this adventure too and have learned as much as I have. Towards the end of the New Testament, we have a set of epistles or letters from people other than Paul, who was quite a prolific letter writer. These epistles include James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Jude. So today we will take a look at 2nd John. Most scholars agree that the writer is the beloved disciple John, who also wrote the Gospel of John, which is my personal favorite gospel. That majestic introduction to John has always caught and called me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The introduction to John's second letter has been a point of contention among scholars for many years, the elder to the elect lady and her children. Now, I had always heard that this was a letter from John to a certain unnamed church. And imagine my surprise when I began reading the numerous commentators, and I had over 100 pages of notes, and the majority of them said, no, it was an actual woman with actual children that John was actually writing to. I'm not 100% convinced of that. There are those who argue that John wasn't given to using metaphors, that he was more straightforward than not, and if he wrote to the elect lady, he meant a real woman. He called himself the elder because some speculate that by the time this letter was written, he was very old and he was the last apostle still alive. There was a lot of disagreement about whether or not to include 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in the Bible. Although John's name is not on the letters, he didn't sign them Love John XOXO, the styles and the sentiments were similar to those of the gospel that bears his name. To complicate matters, commentators go back and forth about whether the second epistle was addressed to someone named Kyria or someone named Electa. Kyria was the feminine form of the word Kyrios, which means Lord. So Kyria means lady. What's my take on all this? Well, I do think it was a church. And I think John was being cryptic because it was a time of persecution for the newly established church. I think John was couching his greeting in a kind of code because he didn't want to get the church, which could have been meeting secretly, he didn't want to get them in trouble. He may have been afraid his messages would be intercepted and examined for any hint of sedition or dissension, and that could have brought official wrath down on them. My speculation is viable in its own way. At the end of the letter, John says he doesn't want to put his words down in ink on paper with pen, because who knows, what if he wrote something that detractors found and misinterpreted and then went after this church to whom he was writing? John would much prefer to meet them, this church whom he called the elect lady and her congregation whom he called her children. And at the end of the letter, he says, your sister sends you greetings too. And I believe that was another church, perhaps John's church in Ephesus, that he was sending greetings to this cryptic church. Well, we shouldn't let the ongoing debate distract us from the message John has for us, even 2,000 years later. John was a big proponent of the truth. See how many times he used the word truth in this short letter? 5 times. And love. He uses it 4 times. His heart is warmed by the thought that the elect lady's children are walking in the truth. But just what does that mean? It makes me think of truth as a long and narrow road. On either side are pitfalls, ditches, falsehoods and fanaticism, lies and deceptions. Sometimes it's not easy to stay on that straight road. Sometimes those falsehoods and deceptions are flashy and enticing. They lay in wait for you to decide, well, let's just step over to this ditch on the side and just look at that falsehood. And that's when it reaches up and grabs you. Gotcha. It's easy to get derailed because so many times a falsehood has vestiges of truth in it, and it looks like the real thing. But John warns us to be ever on our guard. Deceivers are everywhere. They don't follow or think about or consider or try to follow the way of Christ. They don't even try to walk in the truth. They try to trample the truth and lure believers away and into their clutches. I'll give you a great ongoing example. The prosperity gospel is a very big business these days. You know, prosperity preachers, they tell you God wants them to be rich and have an airplane, so you should give them all your money. That's the gist of it. Prosperity preachers talk a good talk, but you really have to listen hard to them. They don't walk the walk. They say God's blessings are best demonstrated materially, lots of money, nice cars, nice houses. But in reality, God's richest blessings are intangible. They can't be seen or bought. They are spiritual. You can't put a price tag on peace of mind. You can't put a price tag on feeling assured that everything will work out, even though it seems as though the world is falling apart all around you. You can't put a price tag on truth. You can't put a price tag on love. More than just walking in the truth, John urges the church and its members to abide in the truth, to stay enclosed in it, to trust it, to wait for it to manifest itself, to just know that as long as you walk on that road of truth, you won't be pulled aside or sent astray by things that look real and spiritual and godly, but really aren't. Once you get to walking in the truth, you can tell the deceivers from a mile away and avoid and even rebuke them. There were many such people wandering around during John's time when he wrote this epistle, and he knew that they were on the prowl for new, fresh believers. Don't fall for their tricks, John says. Don't let them pull the wool over your eyes. Some of these deceivers apparently went to different churches and infiltrated them, trying to win over the people to dissuade them from following Christ. Don't even welcome inside your home, your church, John says. Don't even think, well, let's hear them out. Let's see what they have to say. That's almost like saying you agree with them. And once they get that toehold on you, it's game over. But you have the commandment of love, John says. Perhaps you remember the moment on the night when he and the other disciples gathered for the Passover meal in the upper room with Jesus. Perhaps he remembered how Jesus had said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another." That is the truth we need to continue to walk in. The truth about Jesus' love for us, a love that spills over and out and all around us. This is the truth we must walk in, the truth that love does indeed conquer all, the truth that Jesus' love is stronger than death, that Jesus' love comes to us directly from the Father above, and through that love we are more than conquerors, able and ready to withstand and overcome any obstacle any deceiver tries to throw at us. And even more than that, John could probably still hear Jesus' voice talking about the truth. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John has gifted us with a letter encouraging us to go out and see just how well love and truth work together. No matter who he wrote it to, no matter who he went, a real person or a real church, it still warms our hearts to know he was thinking about us and trusting that the love of Christ still abides in all who claim him as Lord and Savior. So let us walk on toward the light of God's love together, following the Christ who loves us in truth and gives us the grace and mercy and peace we all long for. Let us pray. God, may our feet never stray from the path of righteousness and truth that we began to walk on right after we said yes to Christ's invitation to follow him. In these days of so much noise and nonsense, give us a spirit of discernment so that we can detect those deceivers who try to pull us away from you, and help us resist them and defeat them. We reject their darkness as we turn toward the light of the world, even Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Just a stranger.